title was last week, How Are We Living Our Lives? You know, is our life what we claim it to be? You know, we claim that we've accepted Jesus in our lives, but then we live like a devil. You know, some people do that. They claim, oh, I've accepted Jesus in the life. And then when they're away from the church, when they're away from other Christians, they live like a devil. And that's not being saved. That's not walking with God. And you know, you might fool the church, but you'll never fool God. And you see, the Bible says God sees your heart. It says He sees the very thoughts and the intents of your heart. And you can put on a front, you can put on a show, but God knows. And God reveals and changes. And God's idea and purpose is to change you, to mold you, to shape you into His very image. You know, when you were born, we were born in sin. But when we became born again, we were born into glory. Oh, hallelujah. I'm born into glory, man. Hallelujah. I'm born into glory. This is what it is. This is what it's about. That in that we should have the very essence of the Spirit of God in us. And that we're born into the glory and the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit is on us. And we need to have that mind of Christ in us. You know, the trouble with the church today, it's become secular. You know, the Word tells us, be ye separate. Be ye different. You know, if we blend and we just look like the whatever else is going on around us, then how do they know that you're a Christian? How do they know that you're different? We have to make a stand. We have to love people, but make a stand for the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you now, every time you make a stand for Jesus, Jesus stands up and says, Father, this is one of my sons. These are your children. And there's rejoicing in heaven as each time we declare the name, the word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we need to realize that there is power in the Word of God and it needs to be in us. Yeah. And so that our lives become something absolutely special. I read that scripture from 1 John chapter 3, 1 through to 3, where it says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. You know, tell somebody, I'm a child of God, mate. Glory to Jesus. And that verse says, so that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him, Jesus. Beloved, we are God's children now. Amen. You're not going to be. The Word says you are God's children now. And what we will be has yet to appear. But it's coming. Hallelujah. You are not yet reached your full potential, David. Glory to God. You've not yet reached the heights of glory that God has for you. But he says, it goes on to say, but we know that when He, Jesus, appears, we shall be like Him. Because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Hallelujah. You know, there's a process going on. in us. A process of God's purification flowing in our lives, making us anew, forming us, bringing us to that place where we just bring the glory of God into our own lives, and the glory of God, it begins to go out into other people's lives. And you know, there's that verse of Scripture which says that when we are made perfect, then they too have gone on before shall be made perfect. They're not yet perfect. We all sort of think that when they've died and gone on to heaven, that they must be perfect now, but that's not what Scripture says. They're waiting for us because, they are part of the bride of Christ. And you and I are part of the body of Christ. We're part of the bride of Christ. So they can't be achieved their fulfillment yet until we arrive and we become that one body, that one bride that Christ died for, the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise His wonderful name. Turn with me to Philippians, please. The New Testament. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 to 21. I told you last week I was going to get a new passport. I finally got my passport. Glory to God. Now I can fly. And you know, it's a blue one. It says, I'm a citizen of the United Kingdom. Hallelujah. It no longer says, I'm a citizen of Europe. I'm a citizen of the Queen, of the King of England. But you know, when we came to Christ, things changed. And it says here in verse 20, for our citizenship is in where?
Heaven.
Where?
Heaven.
Heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. I don't care what it says on your passport. Might say you're a citizen of Nepal. If you've asked the Lord Jesus into your life, you're a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's our destination. That's our purpose. That is what it's about. So, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we are eagerly waiting for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Wow, what is going on there? What is going on there? It says, we shall be transformed. There's a stronger word than that. And the meaning in the Greek actually means to be transfigured. Those of you know the Bible, Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And when He went up there, the presence of God came down, and Elijah and Moses were there, and it says, their garments shone. They glowed. There was a transfiguration of the very presence and glory of God. Transformed is a bit of a weak word. But to be transfigured into that glory. Those of you that have read the book of Exodus and have seen the stories of Moses, when Moses went into the tent of meetings to meet with God, when the glory came down, when he came out, the people said, Moses, cover your face. Why? What's the matter with my face? it was shining with the glory of God. That God Himself had impregnated the glory of God, had impregnated Moses so much that as he stood there, it just shone out from him. And those that weren't that close, that just weren't sure about it, they just cover your face, Moses. We can't see this. They were afraid of it. There's a power. There's a presence in the transfiguration. You know, the disciples wanted to build 3 tabernacles. And he said, no. It's not about that. It's about it happening to you. God wants to transfigure Himself in you. Praise His wonderful name. He wants to turn our humble estate, in other words, turn this simple, humble body that we have to dress up with fancy clothes to make it look okay. There's folk going around having Botox and whatever else done to them, liposuction. And I knew a minister once who had liposuction. He regretted it. He was told to rest. He said, I can't, I've got a convention to go to. And he was taped up and strapped up. They'd took all his fat from round his stomach area. Sounds awful, doesn't it? And gross. He said he was in agony. He said, never ever again. You know, glory to God. Just zip it a bit and just eat less. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so God takes this simple body and God wants to glorify it. Because we said last week, didn't we, that God wants to take us back to in the beginning. When the glory of God was on Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were clothed in the glory of God. And when sin came into their life, when they rebelled against God, when they were disobedient, the glory left them. And God said, you're naked. God could see that His glory had left them. Let's not be like that. Let's pursue the glory of God. Don't let other things around you draw you away and weaken you. Don't take second or third best. You might think it's great what you've got now, but God has got something far greater for you. But it's about surrendering to Him. It's about allowing Him to do a work in your life for His praise and for His glory. It's about you and me realizing that God wants you to be a citizen of heaven. We're waiting for the Savior. We're waiting for the transformation of this lowly body into something special. Amen. And in doing so, we're here on the work of the mission of Jesus Christ, raising the dead, casting out demons, opening blind eyes. Amen. That's the commission that we have. How do we do this? We do this by spending time in His Word, spending time in His presence, and allow Him and build our faith to be built and trust Him and to go beyond where our understanding goes. To walk in the unknown for the mind, but to walk in the known by the Spirit. And as we press in, God will move through us and use us for His praise and for His glory. You know, we need to be believing in the Christian hope. Believing in the Christian hope is one thing, but we need to be actually living it. We need, it needs to live through us. That our hope is real. You can believe in it, but you've got to make it real. It's got to become real. Got to be active. It's got to shape your future. And as we trust and believe in God, we will not be afraid of our future. Some people are living in fear about their future. When you see the news and the world and everything that's going on, they're living in fear of what's going to happen in the future. We need to live in faith. He holds my hand. He's got your future secure in Him. And if God could take some 2 million people and for 40 years look after them in a wilderness, in a desert place where there's no food around, there's no shopping online, there's no supermarket, there's no Aldi or Sainsbury's and Morrison's just down the road. But God can. I know stories of God in today's generation of God's natural provision being seen. How it happens, I have no idea, but that's what we do. We trust Him. Because our hope, we're not just believing, our hope becomes a reality. Our hope becomes an assurance. We have a sure and certain hope. Praise His wonderful name. The big question is, are we really married by our faith in Christ? Are we really married to Christ? You know, someone married into being a Christian ought to live in the light of eternity. You know, if we accept Christ as our Lord and Saviour and we say that I'm married to Christ, you know, I'm His bride, that this is the way I am going, this is what my life will be, then we need to live that life with a purpose. Living knowing that we have an eternity. Living knowing that we have a future that is secure in Christ.
Amen.
God does not want you and I living in fear. He wants you living with a sure and certain hope. He wants you to live as though you mean it.
Amen.
God wants you to realize that. The sad thing today is that the church has become so secular. It's become a spectacle at times where Christians are behaving badly. The media gets hold of it. Money.
Yeah.
Sex.
Yeah.
Power. These are the dark triads of the Christian faith. They spoil the Christian walk. They spoil the Christian discipleship.
Yeah.
And sadly, it's been amongst leaders. And these leaders have often become celebrities.
Yeah.
And you know, when we let celebrity, that word, overtake us, being famous, how many bodyguards do you have? I got a friend who, we were at the States, did an exhibition, book exhibition, that Christian one. And T.D. Jakes was on a book signing. And, of course, they have all these bodyguards around them. I think he had about 3 or 4. But guess what? T.D. Jakes is just like you and me. He needed to use the bathroom. And T.D. Jakes had gone into the bathroom and his guards were stood outside, and my friend Brian, he just walked straight through into the toilet. And T.D. Jakes was there. Well, a few minutes later, Brian came out and said, Hey, guess what? Guess who I've seen? What? Who have you seen? He says, I stood with T.D. Jakes in the bathroom. Glory to God, you know. His claim to fame, yeah, you know, I stood by T.D. Jakes at the toilet. You know, I mean, he was joking in that sort of sense. But, you know, the fact that this guy was protected, he's got these bodyguards around him. He's thinking, you know, fame and fortune, it's not about fame.
No.
It's about faith in Jesus. Our fortune is not what we have in the bank. It's about our fortune is in Christ. And we just praise Him. And so we need to begin to walk in that area that, you know, it's not about how much funds we've got, it's how big is our God. How big is our God? We didn't have the funds to buy this building. But God showed us a way. And God provided miraculously and reversed the price. Wonderful Jesus. He kept His promise. He kept His word from 25 years ago. See, and God never forgets. And we just need to keep moving forward in God. We need to walk in faith. We need to stand in faith. We don't want to become secular like the media.
No.
It's not how we claim to walk. It's how we walk.
Yeah.
Just the one word missing. How we claim to walk and how we walk. That's the difference. And I know many of you know ministers, elders, deacons that have claimed to be following Jesus, and then suddenly you find other things going on. And that is so sad. You know, they're under attack. And I would encourage you to pray for leaders, pray for your church leadership. Pray for God's protection over them, because, you know, they will try and destroy the shepherd, to scatter the sheep, to weaken the work. You know, Paul speaks wisely to Timothy and says to him, keep a watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Keep a close watch on yourself. You know, it's about checking yourself up. Checking that you're okay. And what do you measure it against? You measure it against the Word of God. People who have problems with blood pressure, they have a machine, don't they? And they check their blood pressure. And this machine is calibrated so that when they check their blood pressure, they can see where it should be and see where it is. And so they're checking it. People who suffer from diabetes, they have this little machine, don't they? And they check. Check what my sugar levels are like and so on. And what's your spiritual life like? We need to check it against this book. We need to check it against the Word of God. And that's why I say, bring your Bibles. You know, mine's got some yellow marks in it here. These are things that I feel God has been speaking to me. And so I highlight it, and in some places, for instance, when I said earlier on, who will transform your body? I looked it up and found out it really means to transfigure. It means that change going on in our lives. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. See, the Apostle Paul knew the importance of the gospel, knew the importance of living according to the gospel. You see, it's not just knowing the gospel, but it's using it and living by it. That's the yardstick, that's the measure. that we have. Years ago, our currency was measured against a gold standard, as they called it. It was a certain measure. Our weights were measured against a certain weight, and it was kept. And everything was periodically checked against that. And so there was this permanent, constant measure that never changed, kept at a certain temperature, so that nothing changed about it. The Word of God is our measure. Never changes. Never changes. This is the standard. And if you don't read the Bible, if you don't allow the Bible to speak into your heart and life, you've no measure. You're a loose cannon. You don't know whether you're fat, thin, weak, strong. You just rattle around like a billiard ball on a table, not knowing where to go. When you read the Word of God, it gives you your focus. It gives you a destiny. Paul sets out the need for supernatural orientation of our life. You see, God in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden had set out Adam and Eve's direction. It was supernatural. Because God every day came into the garden. You see, God is not natural. God is supernatural. Oh, hallelujah. When you think about that, that God is not natural, God is supernatural, and that everything we see, smell, taste, God brought it into being. It says there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Wow. That's where Christ is. If we seek Christ, we're moving towards the very presence of God. He then goes on to say, set, fix your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. So often we are governed and we are ruled by situations and circumstances that are going on around us. And the moment we fixate on those, we lose our peace. We lose our joy. We lose our direction. We become confused. We're not sure which way's up, which way's down. We're not sure which way's north, which way's south. We're just confused. Because we've fixated on the things that are buzzing around us instead of saying, I'm fixating my mind, my heart, my spirit on God. No matter what is going on around us, God will bring me through. You see, the disciples, when they were in the boat and they were about to sink, they were fixated on a sinking boat. They had forgotten what earlier on Jesus had said to them. And he simply said this, come, let us go to the other side of the lake. And he went to sleep in the boat. He's resting. He's resting on his word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Where he's going?
Yes.
To the other side.
Yes.
Well, in between, there is this storm.
Yes.
Oh, man. Where's the buckets? Let's get bailing out. We're going to sink. We've got a sinker. You know, this storm is going to sink us. We know. We're fishermen. We've seen it so many times.
Yes.
We've had friends die through these types of storms. And they're all in panic. They forgot what was first said to them.
Yeah.
Come, let us go to the other side.
Yeah.
Their side is sinking, going down. So they wake Jesus, shake him and wake him and say, "Don't you care? What is it with you? You know, you just don't seem to care that we're actually going to die." And he's like, "What?" You know, the boat's rolling all over the place and he's fast asleep. You see, your boat can be rolling all over the place. But if God has said He's going to do something, then He's going to do it. So rest.
Amen.
I used to say to folks, just fall back on Jesus. You know, just rest. Drop everything onto Him. He's the great burden bearer. Yeah. In olden days, they had asses to carry burdens. Are you an ass? Do you like carrying other people's burdens?
No.
I certainly don't. And if you've got a bit of a bad back, forget it. You know about it then. He says, cast, hurl all your cares, all your burdens onto Him. Because He cares for you.
Amen.
And so Jesus had to remind them. How did He remind them? He just stood up there and said, "Peace, be still."
Yeah.
He says, and suddenly the wind ceased.
Yeah.
The waves began to drop. And then they were at the other side. And then it started to happen.
Yeah, signs, wonders,
signs, wonders and miracles.
The devil were running.
A man who they could not change, they could not hold down, and Jesus came across there and delivered him and set him free. Let me tell you this, you see, what you've got to realize is that at that time, the authority of the earth, of things going wrong, was in the hands of the devil. See, Jesus had not taken back Adam's authority. See, Adam was given authority to rule and reign over the earth. And he sold it to Satan when he sinned. Jesus came to take it all back.
Amen.
So the devil said, "Oh, I'm going to kick a storm up and get rid of this guy." He tried to get him to throw himself off a building. Didn't he? In the wilderness. Turn these stones into bread. You know, bow down and worship me. You can have all these kingdoms. That was not a lie. That was the truth. I believe what he said to Jesus was, "You can have all these kingdoms. You don't have to die for them. I can give them to you now. An easy way out." Who wants to volunteer for an easy way? That's what most people go for. "I'll take the easy route."
No.
You and I have got to focus on the Word of God.
Amen.
You've got to focus on God. If you don't, if you focus on what's going on around you, you'll become distracted and you may tumble and fall.
Yeah.
Now Steve will bear this one up with me. In our, as we do our biking, we have, all of us, we have peripheral vision. And we can see things going on around us. But then we have a focused vision. Right? Where we are fixed on something. A fixed vision. But while, you know, I can look at Mike, but I can see everybody else. But I'm talking to Mike. But I can see everybody else and what's going on. Just raise your hand. You raise your hand. Put it. Just put it down. Now use it. Either use a hand, raise a foot, or something. And I'm going to look at Mike. Right. You do it. You do something. Mike's looking at you. I'm not. You do something. You do something. Wait while I'm looking at him. Yeah, come on, you know. Work with me, please. You know, I mean, glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll try that again. Come on, do something. Go on, Nigel. No, not you, Mike. Nigel. Nigel, do something. He's just lifted his right hand up. He just did this. But I'm looking at Mike. Steve, do something. You see, Steve's just lifted his right hand up. Not left hand, sorry. Well, you know, it's the way he's sat. But I saw something move, you see. But my vision's on Mike. I'm focused on Mike. But you see, with this peripheral vision. Now, if when we're biking, when we're going round corners and that and down the road, if we focus on a pothole, you'll hit it. Isn't that right? It's this, yeah, this, they call it target fixation. And you look at something and the next thing you're drawn into it. So, we're taught to look further down the road and to be scanning all the time. And you look where you are going. Is that right? And then you're safe. Even when you're going around corners, you look where you're going. You don't look at this bit of the corner, you look around there. And you think, well, what happens? Won't you come up? No, that's already been covered as we were coming to it. And your peripheral vision gathers information. But it's this fixation. And the thing is, you and I need our vision, our sight, to be fixated on the Word of God.
Amen.
You won't come off. You won't have a disaster because I'm fixated on the Word of God. Yeah, there are other things going on around. There are hedges passing by. There's cars pulling out. There's, you know, various things are happening. But we're fixated on going with a purpose and a plan. And in the same way, we're fixated on the Word of God. The devil's doing all sorts of things. There are all sorts of crazy things going on in the world around us. And yet, I know my place. I know where I'm going. And we move forward in God, and we have to be fixated by the Word of God. Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed upon the goal. Keep your eyes fixed on the purpose that God has for your life. And in doing so, you'll have great victory.
Amen.
Verse 3 says this, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." You see, when we baptized you, you died.
Amen.
It's a symbol of dying. It's the thing of the grave.
Yeah.
The old self has died, and the new self has risen to eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes,
yeah, it is.
I am a new creation.
And we are that new creation in God. And we move forward in that. And we're blessed by that. And so we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. For you have died and your life is hidden in Christ. Oh, glory to God. You know, when the devil comes looking for you, he should be just seeing Jesus. You know, where's Mike? I just want to have a go at him this week. You know. Well, you've got to get past Jesus. You've got to get past Jesus first. And that's the trouble. Now, if you step out of Christ and say, well, did the devil call in my name? No, you don't. Stay in Christ. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes, a man breaks through a hedge, a serpent will bite him. Don't step out of your protection. Stay embraced in Christ and Christ in you.
Amen.
Our hope of glory.
Amen.
Our purpose, our destiny. And we see God moving mighty in our lives. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory.
Amen.
Jesus is going to be revealed. Praise God. He's going to be revealed in you. Revealed in you. And He's the hope of our glory. It's going to be revealed in us. The Christ. Praise His wonderful name. You know, as I was sort of looking again at this word, even today, just I, came to mind about the story of Daniel's three friends in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. The king had had this tremendous statue built and he wanted everybody that when the band plays, everybody bows down and worships it. Well, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego just stood there. You know, everybody's there bowing down, you know. Backsides in the air. Looks a great sight. They just stood there. It's like, hey, you're supposed to bow down. No? You see, they knew there was only one God. And they worshipped that one God. And they said, God has said that they had not got to bow down to idols, images. So they said, we're not doing it. So in the end, they gave him another chance. Tempted him. They didn't bow down. They ended up in the fiery furnace, heated up 7 times hotter. And they threw them in. But you know, before they threw them in, they said, we don't care. We are not afraid of our future. Think about that. We're not afraid of our future. Whether God delivers us in that furnace or we die in that furnace, we're not afraid of our future. Can you say that? Can I say that? I'm not afraid of my future. Because they were standing for truth. They were standing for righteousness. And it says that the king looked in and said, I thought we only threw 3 in. There's 4 in there. 1, like the Son of God. The only thing that burned in that fiery furnace was the bondages.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you have any bondages, God will burn them off. Set you free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, you know, glory to God. Let's be free in Christ. Don't get bound up. Be released. And let God do a work in you and moving through you. Hallelujah. I'm going to go through Colossians. I'm just going to finish this bit off. Colossians chapter 3 verses 5 and 8. Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on this account of these things that the wrath of God will come, and in them who you also once walked. We used to do those things, he's saying. We were like that. When you were living in the world. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech with your mouth. Change. 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 Being changed into the image of Almighty God. We need to be changed.
Yeah.
We need to let the presence of God change us, mould us and shape us. No longer living as pagans, the word says, but living as sons and daughters of the living God. A new self with a new purpose.
Amen.
And a new future.
Amen.
Verse 10 says, and having put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Have you put on the new self? Are you being changed? Are you being renewed? Are you? That's what it is. That's the purpose of God. according to the image of the one who created you. God wants you to be like him. Adam and Eve were like him. They lost the glory. God wants you to be like him. God wants you to know his presence and his power in your life. And verse 12, he says, And so these have been chosen of God, holy beloved. Put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you also should forgive.
Amen.
And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. You know, it could be said, there by the grace of God go I. Be thankful. You know, people are going to be coming into church, and if you've got a scowl on your face, if you're standing back and staying away from them, if you're not approachable, if you're not showing the love of God and some humility and some pleasantness, guess what? They won't come back. This is the right miserable sods in that church. Nobody speaks to you. They scowl at you when you come in. Wow. Not going back there again. See, one reason we put those words up, God is love. Over the years and years that we birthed Harvest Fields, it has been said many, many, many times, such love. Such love. You know, we see people come in and they get drawn out by the peripheral vision, things going on the edge of their life, and they're sucked away and they lose focus on Jesus. You see, that's what can happen. You can be focused on something going forward, and then something just starts to attract your attention, and that's it. You're heading for an accident. And sadly, we've seen so many people that they get caught up. You know, it's like the guys that we've put into rehab historically. The worst thing that can happen is that they've got a girlfriend in tow somewhere, and she rings them up, and the next thing she's pulling on their heartstrings, and they're walking out of rehab, and they never go back, and they're back on the drugs again.
Yeah.
Every time somebody comes in and, you know, they've given their heart to Christ, and then the next thing you hear, oh, I've just got a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I go, dear God, the devil's doing it again. And within a few weeks, they're gone. They're gone. It's not about that. It's about focused on Christ. Don't become distracted, because the devil will sacrifice things and situations so that you lose faith. You lose your walk with God. Verse 17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Hallelujah. That's what we've got to be. We need to be doing these things in the name of God. We need to be witnessing and sharing. You know, there's a story of a man in Australia, and his name was they nicknamed him Mr. Eternity. He was an alcoholic. He'd been in, I think it was the First World War, and he came out and began to be an alcoholic. He could hardly read or write. In fact, they said he couldn't write. But one day, he came across some Christians and he gave his heart to Christ. And his mission became, for some reason, wherever he went, God gave him a word, and it was eternity. And he lived, I think it was in Sydney. And all over Sydney, in this wonderful hand scroll writing, was this word would appear on pavements, eternity. In doorways, eternity. And there were people saying, who's written this? Nobody ever saw him write this for many, many years. And then a long time later after this, somebody caught him with a camera and took his photograph, writing eternity. He was known as Mr. Eternity. And you know, those words for over 45 years that he was writing that word, eternity. Nothing else, just eternity. He was a recovering alcoholic. But he believed God had commissioned him to write that word all over the city. Eternity. Eternity. You know, what does that say? Where are you going to spend eternity? Where is your eternity? God wants you to know that eternity is set within your very heart through Christ Jesus. He wants you to realize. They've even actually made a plaque that is in the museum in that scroll of his handwriting, eternity. Mr. Eternity. His name was Arthur Stace. But he could never write. Only thing he could ever write was eternity. Where's your eternity today? I trust it's in Jesus. I trust it's in your future is secure in Him. Don't focus on the things that are on the peripheries, but focus on the things that are meaning to your life. Focus on those things that God has for you. Be a joy. When people come into church, love them into the kingdom. Show them the love of God. Don't judge them. If you're going to judge them, have a look in the mirror first.
Yeah.
And see who's there. And say, there, by the grace of God, go I. Surrender all to Him. Live the life. Don't talk the life. Live the life. And let the glory of God shine through you. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your healing touch upon lives today. We thank you, Lord, that you are Lord of all. And Father, we just surrender ourselves afresh and anew to you. And Lord, we just ask that you would just become an even greater draw in our life. Lord, that we shall become so focused on you that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Father, just cover this congregation. Lord, I pray that their lives will be a light and a witness. I pray, O God, you would place such a hunger in each and every one of us for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would make us light for your glory. Just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.